We sang that hymn this morning that we sing so often, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?" And I've just been thinking about that. All the way my Savior leads me. And that's verily true in a general sense. You know, He led the Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And when those pillars stopped, they stopped. And when they went on, they went on. And for 40 years, every day and every moment of their lives, they were led by the Lord by those means until He landed them safe home in Canaan. Now, would you turn, please, in this connection to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Dealing with the Lord's leading. Psalm 23, verse 3. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Just remember those few words. "He leadeth me. He leadeth me." Now, Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Verse 8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee," or lead thee if you like, "with mine eye." I will guide thee, lead thee, with mine eye. Now, Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Now, in a general sense, that's just what the Lord does. He leads us, He guides us continually. He guides us with His eye. And of course, if a person's going to guide us with his eye, you've got to be very close to that person, haven't you? So that you can see his eye. If you're walking a long way from him, you'll never see his eye. And it's only when you're walking close to the Lord Jesus that you'll know the Lord's leading and the Lord's guidance. You must abide in him. You must walk close to him if he's going to guide you with his eye. And the leading, the guidance of the Lord is personal. He says, "I will guide thee." The Lord shall guide thee. "I will guide thee with mine eye." It's personal. The Lord himself is our guide. He's our leader. "He leadeth me," we sang. It's personal. And another thing about it is that it's continual. It's not spasmodic. The Lord shall guide thee continually. Continually. Every moment of every day, of every week, of every year that we live our Christian lives, the Lord has promised to guide us and to lead us. It's a continual thing. He just doesn't lead us today and leave us to ourselves tomorrow. He guides us continually. He's always there, just as that pillar of cloud was always there, and the pillar of fire by night. So the Lord Jesus, He's always there to lead us and to guide us. It's a continual thing. It's not spasmodic. Another thing about it is that it's satisfying. And satisfy thy soul, Isaiah said, in drought. And there's nothing more satisfying to the Christian than to know that he's being led and he's being guided by the Lord Jesus. I know of nothing more satisfying than that, than to know that where I am and what I'm doing and so on is what the Lord would have me to do. Never mind about other people. It's what the Lord would have me to do. I'm being led by Him. I'm being guided by Him. And that's tremendously satisfying. So that in a general sense, I say that the Lord is guiding His people. He's leading them, just as He led the Israelites for those 40 years of wanderings through the wilderness. So the Lord is before us, leading us, guiding us, and He'll do this until He lands us all safe home in the glory. But there are occasions when you and I need guidance, when we need to be led by the Lord about a particular matter, about something that's, you know, special. What shall I say? Well, like going to the mission field, for instance. I remember a brother spoke here one Wednesday night years ago and about his call to the Lord's work. And when I went home, I said to my wife, well, I said, if ever a person, I felt at any rate, if ever a person was led by the Lord, guided by the Lord to go to the mission field, I believe it was him. That's the impression that he gave me. And so off he went. But he only lasted the proverbial 5 minutes. He wasn't there for 5 minutes in the place where he felt that the Lord had led him to. He wasn't there for 5 minutes. And it just seemed as though, well, he made a mistake. The Lord didn't guide him, otherwise he would have stayed there. But it would appear that he was mistaken. And so you and I have often been mistaken, I'm sure, when we've done certain things, gone to certain places, believing that the Lord has led us to do this, and in the long run, it proved that we were only following our own, our own intentions, and we didn't know the mind of God at all. Now, there are certain principles in the Bible with regard to leading and guidance about particular matters. And I'd just like to say a few words about those. F.B. Meyer, an able minister and teacher and writer, was once crossing the Irish Sea from Dublin to England. And for the life of me, I can't think of the town in England where these boats coming across from Ireland land. Anyway, he was taking the night boat across. And as they neared the shores of England, he was standing on the bridge with the captain. And he said to the captain, he said, "Sir, how do you find the harbour on a dark night such as this?" He was peering into the darkness and he could see absolutely nothing. How are we going to find that harbour? I guess in the old sailing days, that's what the captains used to say as they neared Sydney Heads. How are we going to get through Sydney Heads into Sydney Harbour on a dark, moonless night? And the captain looked at him and he said, "Well, sir," he said, "if you look very closely and very intently in that direction, you'll see three lights. Three green lights." And F.B. Meyer looked and he looked and he looked until at last he saw those lights away in the distance. Three green lights. "Well," he said, "yes, I have them in sight." "Well," said the captain, "when I get those three lights into a straight line," he said, "I just go straight ahead." But he said, "until I get them in a straight, direct line, I manoeuvre the ship, and I, until it, that is so." I suppose they've still got it, but up in Stockton, in Newcastle, they had a similar thing. Up on the hills of above Hunter Street in Newcastle, you'll see landmarks. And that's so that the captains of the ships that are coming into Newcastle Harbour across the bar there, they get these into a straight line and they just go straight ahead. And so the captain said, "That's the secret of it. You get the lights in a straight line and then you can go ahead." Now God has three lights that you and I have to get in a straight line. If we're praying about a certain matter, if we've got something particular on our mind that we need guidance about, we've got to get these lights in a straight line. I wonder what they are. I wonder what they are. Well, I believe that the first one is the Word of God. You know, God never guides us contrary to His Word. To take a very extreme case, if I was to get down on my knees and ask God to give me the winner of the last race at Randwick on Saturday, yeah, it makes you laugh, doesn't it? But it's true. You see, He wouldn't do that, would He? Why? Because that is wrong in principle. Christian doesn't back racehorses. At least I hope he doesn't. It's wrong in principle. It's not in accordance with the Word of God. And of course there's dozens of other cases that I could have quoted. The Lord only guides in accordance with His Word. He never gives us leading guidance about anything at all that's not in accordance with the Word of God. "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." So if you're seeking guidance about a particular matter in your life, the first question you ask yourself, well now, is this in accordance with the Bible or is it contrary to the Word of God? You see, I'm going with an unsaved boy, or I'm keeping company with a girl that's never been converted. I'm asking the Lord to bless us, that our future life will be a happy one. Well, to me, that's wrong. You see, the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever." And I can't ask God for guidance about something that's distinctly contrary to His Word. Oh, no. So that's the first thing, is what I'm asking guidance about, the leading of God about, is it in accordance with the Word of God? And you say, yes, of course. Well, the next light is the conviction of the soul. Am I really convicted in my heart, in my soul? Am I absolutely certain that this is what the Lord would have me to do? I'm praying about this, you see. I've been praying about it for long weeks and I'm getting somewhat tired of praying about this matter because I don't seem to be getting any answers. Is that right? Well, you see, God's never in a hurry. He's never in a hurry. And one of the things that we must learn if we're praying for God's guidance is patience. And that's something that I haven't got much of, I'm afraid. Patience. Patience is a virtue, isn't it? Yes, patience is a virtue. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me. And in seeking guidance from the Lord, we've got to be patient. We've got to be patient. We've got to wait. We've got to wait. Learn what it is to wait. And so we must have this deep conviction in our soul that what we're seeking the Lord's leading about is right. And the third light, that's the second one, well, we've got those two in line. It's in accordance with the Word of God. And I'm convicted in my soul. I'm certain, absolutely certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this is what the Lord would have me to do. So those two lights in a line. But there's another light that has to be got into line as well. And what light is that? That's circumstances. Circumstances. And you know, circumstances play a large part in our lives, don't they? Years ago, in the Main Roads office, we had a girl called Helen White. She used to attend the Christian Fellowship. And Helen was an only daughter of a widowed mother. And Helen wanted to go out as a missionary. So she got one light. That was in accordance with the Word of God, wasn't it? To go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And she was convicted in her own soul after much waiting on the Lord that this is what the Lord wanted her to do. So she got two lights in a line. But then there was another light that she had to get in line, and she didn't make a move until that light was in line. And what was that? Circumstances. And Helen's widowed mother at this time was a very sick woman. And it would not have been fair, according to Helen, for her to have left her mother to die and to go out to the mission field. The circumstances weren't quite right. So Helen waited, and she waited until one day the Lord took her mother home to glory. And so she got the third light in line. Now there was nothing to stop her, nothing to prevent her, and away she went to the mission field. And sometimes there are circumstances in your life and mine. Of course they vary according, just as our faces vary. But there are circumstances in our lives that prevent us from getting that third light in line. And until those circumstances are eradicated or fixed up or, you know, done something with, and we can get that third light into line, we daren't make a move. And so those are the three principles, I believe, that should be taken heed to as we're seeking the Lord's guidance about a particular matter. And if we did this, I'm sure there'd be less mistakes made. I'm sure there'd be less people coming home from the mission field long before their time. I'm sure we'd save ourselves a lot of anxious cares and worry and frustrations and disappointments if we were patient enough to get those three lights into a straight line. And when we've got them in a straight line, we go straight ahead. Thank you.